and all this week we're talking about climate change. And today we're going to look at how three cities in this country are preparing for the effects, starting with New Orleans. Jeff Hebert is deputy mayor and chief resilience officer, and he joins us. Jeff, what are your priorities when preparing for climate change in New Orleans?
When we talk about adaptation in New Orleans, we have the highest relative sea level rise in the country. Investments in coastal protection and restoration, investments in stormwater management, particularly on green infrastructure, and investments in energy and the way we build our buildings. All of those are wrapped into a long-term plan of how we need to rebuild and retool the city to meet what we know is coming 50 years from now, but as we've seen in the past 2 years, what is actually happening right now.
Is the biggest threat to New Orleans another storm like Katrina? Is it a hurricane that you're most worried about?
What we're most worried about is really a combination of a couple things. One is storm surge. So what happens in a hurricane or a tropical storm, a wall of water coming into the city. We've built the largest storm surge barrier in the country, one of the largest in the world that we built after Katrina. It's gigantic. We call it the Great Wall of New Orleans, and that protects us and has protected us thus far. So the storm surge barrier is outside the city, but inside the city, the rain that you've seen across the country, the rain that you saw outside of New Orleans and other parts of Louisiana, ensuring that we can continue to manage that stormwater is really important for us. So it's a combination of the two. So we've invested a great deal, but now we're moving into more green infrastructure because we've decided we just can't build enough pipes to pipe our way out of what we're seeing as these projections. So investments in green infrastructure, water gardens, large-scale parks and open spaces that can retain water and become sponges for water, that's the direction we're going in New Orleans because the hard infrastructure is just not going to do it to meet the demands that we're going to have over the next 50 years.
How much help do you get from the state government, from the federal government, and from private companies in working towards the New Orleans that you're trying to build to be protected against climate change?
We have great partners at the federal government, state government, and then what we pull together at the local government to move these projects forward. Of course, there's a national issue with infrastructure, and this isn't just New Orleans. This is our friends in Miami and our friends in Norfolk dealing with these very similar issues. There is not a huge amount of available infrastructure funding in the country for these large scale protection projects that we will need to protect most of the coastal United States in the coming years. So there is a huge gap there, and we fill it as best we can, but there is always going to be a gap until we come up with a national policy on infrastructure for this.
What about people who say, why bother with all of this? New Orleans is too at risk from rising seas. It's time for people to start moving out.
I think it's in isolation, people say things like that. But as we've seen all over the country and particularly on the Eastern Seaboard and the Gulf Coast, this isn't something that just affects New Orleans. In this country, it affects New Orleans, Miami, Norfolk, New York, Boston. This isn't just a New Orleans issue. This is a very large percentage of the population of the United States.
That's Jeff Hebert, who is deputy mayor and chief resilience officer for the city of New Orleans. Jeff, thanks so much.
Thanks, Jeremy.
And next, let's bring in Matt Peterson, who is Chief Sustainability Officer for the City of Los Angeles. Matt, welcome to you. And when it comes to climate change, what are your biggest concerns?
Well, for Los Angeles, you know, our biggest concerns when it comes to climate change and the impacts are related to increased extreme heat for longer periods of time, drought, and, of course, related to both those, we have concerns around fires, and then, of course, after forest fires and fires in the mountains surrounding the basin, we have flooding and mudslides. So it's they're all connected in one way or another.
And what can you do about that? When we talk to people in other cities that are on the coast, they're talking about trying to keep the water out by maybe building walls or things like that. What about when you have to deal with the opposite in terms of more severe and sustained droughts? What can you do?
Well, number one, we need to continue to stay focused on mitigation and reduction of greenhouse gas emissions. How do we make the challenge less bad, so to speak? And that's why the mayor and the city of LA have set a target of 80% reductions by 2050 over a 1990 baseline year, and we've already reduced them by 20%. In terms of adapting to the realities of climate change, we've asked people to conserve water in Los Angeles by 20% by 2017. we're already at that level and we need to keep it there. And we've done it by getting people to take out their ornamental front lawns, meaning the only person that ever walks across that lawn is the person that mows it or takes care of your yard. Then you should replace it with a drought-tolerant, California-friendly landscape. So we're beginning to see that change. We've had over 20,000 people take advantage of the rebates we offered through our utility. And then long-term, we need to build supply here. We need to clean up our San Fernando Valley aquifer that's our major groundwater basin where we store water. We need to do things like taking sewage water and doing advanced treatment or recycling it. And then capture the rainwater when we do get it. So we'll get about the same level of precipitation the modeling shows, but we're not going to have snowpack. We're not going to have the Sierra Nevadas and the snowpack be our long-term storage of water. That means that we're going to have more rainwater and going through our stormwater system. How do we capture it, clean it up, and store it for future use? So if we're going to have to do that and invest, the estimated $9 billion for the county to invest in stormwater capture and cleanup, let's not discharge it to the ocean. We send so much water out to the ocean when we have a storm event. And we've set up this great conveyance infrastructure that moves water really quickly through the city of L.A. so it doesn't flood, including along the L.A. River. And we need to tap into it, divert that water to be cleaned up, stored. We're going to need to use cisterns. We've seen some major cisterns put under large parks, and that water's then being sold to nearby cities. So we just need a lot more of that.
We haven't talked about what you can do about sea level rise. Is that not something that concerns you there?
Sea level rise is a little bit less of a concern for the West Coast. And here in Los Angeles, our specific areas of concern are along the beach and certainly in Santa Monica, which is a separate municipality, in the Pacific Palisades. The beach is vulnerable to erosion due to rising sea level and storm surge. And then Venice, which is part of the city of L.A., is lower lying. And so that's where we have the most significant infrastructure concerns. If we get sea level rise and storm surge, it could inundate our stormwater system and our natural gas infrastructure and overwhelm those systems. And we saw after Katrina and Superstorm Sandy the impact on natural gas systems and stormwater and water systems. It's significant. So that's where we're focused on. What do we do to harden that infrastructure? The port near San Pedro and Long Beach is fairly well fortified, but there's some lower-lying residential areas, Wilmington, that we need to pay attention to and begin to think about long-term as well.
That's Matt Peterson, who is Chief Sustainability Officer for the City of Los Angeles. Matt, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
And one more city we want to check in on, Boulder, Colorado. Suzanne Jones is the mayor there. And Mayor, what's Boulder's biggest concern when it comes to climate change?
So Boulder's tucked right at the base of the foothills of the Rockies, and we live in an arid climate, and already we are living the effects of climate change. So in September 2013, we had a week of rain, and it dumped 17 inches of water, which is close to what our annual average precipitation is. And we had damage or destruction to about 1,000 homes. There were four deaths and over $150 million of damage to roads and various public infrastructure. So that was a real wake-up call that we need to be taking, securing our energy infrastructure and our other public amenities in order to prepare for climate.
What do you mean by that? What do you have to do to deal with these extreme weather events?
Well, some of the stuff is basic emergency preparedness, right? We have 15 creeks that run through our town, including Boulder Creek, which runs down the spine. And so we have built greenways, which also service as flood control devices along most of them. And the ones that we did performed very well in the flood, and the ones that we didn't, the water went all over the place and caused a lot of damage. So there's some basic stuff like that. But we almost lost our use of our water treatment plant. And that made us realize we need to figure out how to have emergency electricity backup for our critical infrastructure.
What about snowfall in the area where you are? Obviously, a lot of people go to Colorado as tourists to go skiing. How do you expect that to change over time?
Well, like many cities in the West, we depend on snowpack to fall in the winter and then melt slowly in the spring and be captured in reservoirs to provide our water supplies. So the fact that we're getting sometimes less snow, sometimes it's melting much quicker and running off real quick, well, we can see that we are going to need to be prepared for that as well. And luckily, Boulder has ample water rights that were secured long ago, but other cities around us are in a much more challenging position.
So in 5 or 10 years, how is Boulder going to be more prepared to deal with climate change?
We are doing two things. One is we are also trying to mitigate the impacts of climate change by reducing our emissions. On the adaptation side, we just announced a project at the Clinton Global Initiative in order to establish microgrids at 5 critical facilities around Boulder, such as our wildfire evacuation center. And that not only will mean that those buildings are more sustainable on the day-to-day, but it also means that if the grid goes down, that those places will have electricity and be able to supply basic needs for people in our community.
That's Suzanne Jones, the mayor of Boulder, Colorado. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you for having me.